Full of grubs and red ants, the tiny lizard was lying on the flat rock and showing its belly to the hot sun in total contentment. Then the ground began to shake, and the sky darkened as something radiating waves of heat blocked out the sky. Caught by surprise, panic seized the creature, and it froze as the darkness rumbled overhead. Scrambling to its clawed feet, the mutie opened all three eyes and fiercely spat at the towering enemy. Anything larger was always considered an enemy. The acid spray hit with a sizzling hiss that usually marked the demise of the target, and its pea-sized brain reveled at the thought of all the additional food the kill of such a giant would yield. Never even slowing, the huge studded tire rolled over the Gila monster, crushing it flat. Pulsating intestines and blood sprang out on either side as the Lav 25 rolled on through the wide Texas desert. The splotch of deadly acid barely caused a minor discoloration in the resilient material of the pre-dark tires, already marred by drinker thorns, bits of glass, shattered bones, the broken wooden shafts of a dozen arrows, and a swarm of small-caliber bullets. Crushing scorpions, rocks, and anything else that got in the way, the heavy military tires of the APC flattened every obstacle in the irregular surface of the shifting sands, leaving behind a trail of compacted debris that stretched out of sight for miles. The Lav 25 wasn't designed to be a stealth vehicle, but a battlefield juggernaut, heavily armed and armored, proof to toxic chems, radiation, and most virus vectors, with pinpoint scanners, worldwide communication equipment, radar, radio scramblers, and yet big enough to carry six troopers and still be fast enough to escape anything larger that might prove to be a viable threat to the sleek U.S. Army Leviathan. Nowadays, much of the electronics, radio and comms, and other fancy tech were gone, ripped out to make room for additional fuel, water, and food. There had even been a set of rudders and propellers, as if the damn APC was a boat of some kind. Pure madness to think steel could float. Just more dead weight, Gaza thought, to haul around and waste precious fuel. However, he had kept the winch and 40mm smoke makers, even though he had no chems for those. Stripped to the bare essentials of might and flight, the imposing war machine still ruled the wastelands. Thick canvas sheets draped the machine to offer protection from the deadly noon sun, the heavy material soaked with a tacky glue made from boiled bones, and then sprinkled with sand to create an effective mask to hide its shape and armament, which were considerable. Where the canvas yawned, there could be seen the original model of tans and creams, similar to those of an Appaloosa horse, near perfect camo for the desert surroundings. The ventilated barrel of a 50 cal thrust out of the forward blaster port of the prow, so the driver could fire and steer at the same time, and from the turret there dominated the imposing barrel of a 25mm cannon that could traverse horizontally and vertically to track in every direction to find its prey. Inside the war wag, the air was warm, reeking of diesel fumes and machine oil, the dangling belts of linked ammo jingling musically as the APC rolled over the warming desert. Crouched in the driver's seat, Baron Gaza grinned in pleasure at the sound of the dangling ammo. The jury rigging to mount the cannon to the pintle mounting had been a bitch, but now the 25mm cannon worked perfectly. Hawk had done a good job of cleaning and oiling the big blaster. Now the APC was a proper war wag, armed to the eyeballs, and more than a match for the armed trucks of the traitor. Moving to the motion of the machine as if they were on a ship at sea, the five women in the rear wall seats leaned toward the small air vents, savoring every breeze that blew in from underneath the canvas sheeting. To endure the oppressing heat, the Baron's wives had stripped down to the bare essentials, their wealth of bare skin shiny with sweat that dripped off their bodies to fall into the corrugated steel deck. However, strips of cloth were tied around every wrist to keep their hands dry and ready to use the blasters holstered on their bare hips and the loaded rapid fires lying across their open thighs. Sticking a cig into his mouth, Gaza kept one hand on the steering yoke while he lit the smoke and pulled the rich dark smoke deep into his lungs. The damn things were as addictive as Jolt, but smoking helped him stay razor. They were deep in core territory now, and whatever that white new cloud had been, the Baron was triple damn sure the Corps would also be going there to do a wreck. Fucking mutie bastards. Shifting in his sticky chair, the Baron stretched out his sore leg, and in the gunner's chair, Kathleen moved out of the way to give him some more space. Gaza grunted at the act of kindness. His bad leg was starting to ache from being in the cramped position for so long. But that was a lot better than being crucified by the rebelling civvies of his own ville for lying to them for so many years. Stupid Phoebes didn't understand that sacrifices needed to be made in war. They should have been honored that he chose Rockpointville as his base to strike at the traitor, and then use his stockpile of Predark weapons to build an empire in the Deathlands. To create a new America that would purge the world of muties and freaks. A world of norms. It was to have been, no, would be, a war of purification. And the blood of the dead would nourish the sand until it would grow crops, and America would be green once more, alive and safe, with Emperor Gaza as the absolute ruler. A world of norms, ruled by a mutie. At the thought, Gaza stole a glance at the ragged scar on his left hand, his unknown mark of shame. The man told others the mark was from a cougar attack, but that was a lie. The scar was a memory, a secret from childhood when Edgar Gaza had been born with an extra finger on that hand. His wise mother had brutally chopped it off while he was still attached to her, or else his father would never have allowed the dirty mutie to live and suckle at those gene-pure breasts. A mutie who ruled norms. Yes, that would be his payback for every creature killed or tortured because it was born different. Once, a freak show came to Rock Point, the zoo master displaying weird muties in cages for the people to stone for their amusement. In the cover of darkness, Gaza himself had hidden a blaster in the man's wag, then publicly accused him of being a thief, and whipped him to death right there in the street before the Temple of the Scorpion God. Behind their iron bars, the trapped muties blessed Gaza with their misshapen eyes, as the hated master was slowly reduced to a bloody carcass under the bullwhip. Unfortunately, afterward, Gaza had no choice but to ace the poor creatures, but it was done with blasters, as painlessly as possible. Revenge could only be carried so far, and only an idiot allowed personal feelings to get in the way of survival. Stealing a look into a cracked mirror set in the corner of the sloped roof, Gaza could see his wives were chatting among themselves using the hand language they had created. He had tried in vain to learn their silent speech, and harbored a nervous belief that they had altered the lessons to exclude him from their private conversations. As if sensing his disquieting thought, Allison reached into a duffel bag hanging on the armored wall and offered her husband a honeyed bread, his personal favorite.
Sticky hands while I'm driving? Are you insane?
Bowing her head in apology, Allison popped the morsel into her mouth and chewed contentedly while looking ahead of the rolling war wag at the endless vista of the shimmering sands, lost in her own thoughts. The hours passed slowly, and as the APC crested a dune, blinding sunlight exploded through the obports. Shielding his face with a hand, Gaza fumbled to find a pair of sunglasses tucked into a pouch clipped under the chair. As he slid them on, the polarized lenses automatically darkened in response to the illumination, and he could see clearly again, although everything was tinted blue now. Then the APC slowed as Gaza stared in disbelief at the huge hole spreading wide across the landscape. Down below were dozens of pre-dark buildings rising upward to almost the level of the desert floor. What the nuking hell was this? Some sort of a sunkenville? Its buildings below the desert? But why hadn't the wind filled the hole with sand over the long years? The answer came in a flash. Because the pit was newly formed. No, uncovered. A salt dome. Blind NORAD, that was what he had seen in the distance. The blast cloud of a crashing salt dome that had covered over a pre-dark city. Jerking upright in her chair, Allison grunted frantically and pointed to the right. Tracking in that direction, Gaza snarled as he saw the ragged figures of the Corps running along the crumbling edge of the cliff about a half mile away. So they were trying to find a way down, eh? Perfect. Thankfully, the wind was blowing in the wrong direction, hiding the smell and sound of the engines from the hated muties. This was the best chance he would ever have to end their foul race.
Load 'em up! We're going in hot and hard!
Allison strapped herself into the gunner's chair and then released the ropes holding the 50 cal out of the way of the two people at the front of the vehicle. Expertly, she checked the linked ammo, making sure there were no kinks to tangle and jam the blaster. Then she worked the arming bolt and took a few practice swings of the heavy blaster, testing its speed. The woman could feel the waves of rage from the core, the pictures in their minds a visual tapestry hanging just below the subconscious level. The desert warriors were almost insane with anger, and that was good. It would make them foolhardy, prone to taking unnecessary risks. An angry enemy was a weak enemy. In the rear, Della awkwardly climbed the half-step into the turret and prepared the 25mm cannon.
Short bursts only at group targets.
Gazza looked in the corner mirror.
That's all the shells we got. We're gonna need every damn one to face a traitor.
The tall brunette thumped the metal chassis with a fist to let her husband know she understood the gravity of the situation. Then she pulled out a .45 Ruger Black Hawk revolver from her holster and tucked it in the front of her belt for a faster draw. All of the others were doing the same with their rapid fires, stuffing spare ammo clips into belts and working the arming bolts on their Kalashnikovs, M16s, and MAC-10 machine pistols. The engine of the LAV-25 sounded deafening to Gazza as he tried to force the Warwag to greater speed, but it got within 100 yards of the core before the last person in the group spun and shouted the alarm. Instantly, Allison racked the group with the 50, bodies tumbling in every direction from the brutal hammering of the heavy combat rounds. Now the rapid fires began spitting flame from both sides of the APC, and a full dozen of the Corps died from the barrage before the rest even realized what was happening. Spinning with a snarl, Alar simply stood in the open ground, holding his spear. As Gazza headed straight for the male, he suddenly felt dizzy, then cried out as a giant millipede appeared from behind a sand dune. The black insect larger than a pre-dark tank. The Baron threw the steering hard to the left to escape the slavering jaws of the colossal beast. Releasing the 50, Allison touched his temples, and the vision faded away, to show nothing before the APC but empty desert, and the rapidly approaching edge of the cliff. It had been a damn illusion. Dangerously close to the edge, the pre-dark city rising into view, Gazza slammed on the brakes and threw the transmission into reverse, the gears grinding loudly as the machine fought its own momentum. The loose sand under the tires slithered away, and the APC continued forward toward the yawning abyss. Trying to regain control, Gazza stomped on the gas, and the big Detroit diesel roared with full power. Only 50 feet away from the edge, Gazza engaged the emergency brake and banked even harder, throwing his weight onto the yoke until he thought it might break. With half the wheels jammed motionless, the LAV-25 went sideways and continued sliding towards certain doom. Then Gazza released the brakes, the rear tires caught traction, and the vehicle lurched ahead a few yards. Yes! Fighting for every foot of the way, the Baron alternately worked the yoke and brakes and gas, finally bringing the Warwag onto the desert proper.
Kill them all!
Instantly, every weapon in the APC cut loose, hot lead chewing up the dunes, as the Corps rallied behind Alar. What the hell? Why would they give up a group target to the rapid fires? Then the leader of the Corps vanished from sight, as a duplicate APC came around a dune to barrel straight for Gazza on a collision course, and a fire-breathing millipede rose from under the sand to their left. Ignoring the mind tricks, the Baron spun the LAV-25 hard and headed for the empty stretch of desert. He remembered a dune being there a moment ago, which is probably where the damn muties were going to escape his blasters.
Della, shoot the sky!
Spears hit the APC from nowhere, the point shattering as they came through the air vents, throwing razor-sharp slivers of steel everywhere like shrapnel. Dropping her AK-47, Victoria cried out and fell to the deck with a length of steel completely piercing her throat. Della cut loose the 25mm cannon and turned in a full circle. The sand exploded everywhere, and swaddled bodies fell from the clear sky to land in gory pieces on the hot sand. Suddenly, the rest of the Corps became visible once more as they ran from the edge of the cliff where the heavy APC dared not go again. As Gazza leaned forward to urge the machine onto greater speed, he and Alar locked eyes for a long heartbeat as the leader of the Corps fumbled to pull a grin from within his cloth rags. The APC hit the man, and he folded completely over the prow and went flying. He was still airborne when the Gren detonated in a blinding flash. His heart pounding, Gazza watched as the fireball thinned away on the wind of its detonation. That had been a thermite Gren. The mill anti-tank charge would have blanketed the APC in chem flames hotter than 1,000 Molotovs and roasted them alive. Alar had to have been saving that just for Gaza, but he used it one split second too late. Unexpectedly, more spears hit the war wag, and as the rear women shot wildly, Allison frowned in concentration and then swept the nearby sand with the forward 50 to expose the underground members of the Corps with bloody geysers as each round found living flesh. Literally torn to pieces, the broken bodies rolled along the desert, leaving a crimson trail as they went straight over the cliff and joined their aced leader on the last train west. Breaking to a halt, Gaza panted behind the steering yoke, glancing about in every direction, trying to find new targets. But the desert seemed to be empty.
Another trick?
Allison shook her head and waved a hand in a slicing motion, explaining that everybody was chilled.
Let's just make sure.